your fucking veins.
Yes.
That's real good.
It's Sextastic Tuesday.
Stuff my fucking whore hole.
Get a life and stop jacking it.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, feels fucking fantastic, man.
Party in my pants.
I barked on my tits.
You get off on this, don't you?
I want to milk the chocolate out of your cock.
Oh, drop a load on me.
Get down and bite on my nubbin.
It's just a fun thing.
Crystal meth solution dropping my phone.
It's only a milkshake.
Assholes.
That was beautiful, precious.
Timmy Boo.
My big, fat, nasty ass in a thong.
Bitch, 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 bitch.
Away. Nice, sweet turd. Nice, sweet turd.
Yeah! Cock is so delicious! Hey, Freaks, Tim Henson with you back for the Tuesday edition of DV. Brand new Sextastic Tuesday. Oh, yes, we are not fucking around. Plus, it's an extended episode of DV. So Sideshow Freaks will get 10 to 15 minutes, possibly more, of bonus content. You got to sign up for the Sideshow if you want to hear it, though. Do it right now, superfreakssideshow.com. Now, before I get into Sextastic Tuesday, I've mentioned many times, and you've heard it firsthand, that I have no musical talent whatsoever. I wish I could play an instrument. I used to be able to play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on the trombone because I took that in fifth grade. But no, I can't sing. I wish someone would give me voice lessons. But regardless, I love to sing, though. I've just got it. I've got the music in me. Inside of me, it's out of tune, though. So today, you know, in between, you know, when I end the free side show and I start the Sideshow exclusive content, there's usually like a little intro. And today I thought I would sing one of my favorite songs ever, Toad the Wet Sprocket's Come Down, with that great line, "There is semen in your hands." It's not the real lyric, but that's what I hear when the song is played. So today I found the karaoke version of that song. I couldn't believe that there was one. So I decided to sing it. Now, what I've done, and I'm going to play that in between the, you know, the free side and the start of the extended portion. Again, you have to be Sideshow members to hear that audio treat. However, I isolated just me singing. So you're not going to hear any of the background music or anything right now. I just want to play this for you. This is me singing. I even stripped out all of the effects because, you know, I add a little bit of reverb on my voice to make it sound better, polish up that turd a bit, and some, you know, some other things like that. So here is, this is just the stripped down, this is MTV Unplugged version of Come Down. Here's just a little bit of it.
Won't repeat myself again, will not repeat myself again. It's another promise,
oh,
DOA. And despite my every hope, there is no truth behind my bitch.
I've listened to this song thousands of times, right? It really is one of my favorite. I love Toad the Wet Sprocket and 90s music in general. But it's like I've never heard it before. It's like, you know, that horrible Linda Finkel Hall of Fame nominee, Marianne, who sings songs that she's never listened to before. Like, here's an example. This is me. I make fun of Marianne, but I sound just like this.
Baby cried the day the circus came to town, 'cause she didn't want parades just passing by her. So she painted on a smile and took off with some clown, while she danced without a net upon the wire. I know lot about her,
like,
because you see,
this is not how the song sounds.
Baby is an awful lot like me.
Come on, I'll sing it with you.
Don't cry.
Never mind. You've got this, okay?
Just keep it inside. and learn how to hide your feelings.
Fly high,
proud.
Okay, enough.
And if you
I need to contact this bitch, and we need to do a duet together in Angels Will Cry. Try to commit suicide. That is Marianne for you and my shitty singing abilities. You'll hear more of that later. What a treat for you sideshow freaks. Let's get into Sextastic Tuesday. This is a stupid bit where I try to find erotic pieces of fiction that really miss the mark. Now, the idea is to get you off on these stories, right? To be very sexy, very sensual. These stories that I find, though, are weird, right? Creepy, disgusting, poorly written. Those are the type of stories I'm looking for on Sextastic Tuesday. Let's get into today's right now.
It's Sextastic.
Fuck yeah, it is. Don't you forget it, motherfucker. All right, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. I've just got a lot of misplaced anger. All right, here is today's story. The Boobfish. That's how it's going to go, freaks. The story is called The Boobfish, and it's about a fish with a goddamn boob. All right, today was the great day for Tom. He had prepared everything. He studied the currents, traded stories with fishermen, brought his most trusted pair of swim fins, and even bought a grossly overpriced breath leaf. Today, Tom was going to catch the biggest boobfish ever. But what is a boobfish, one might ask? Well, it probably has an official, boring, and presumably Latin name, but the locals prefer the more colorful terms like fisherman's mistress, cock thief, and of course, boobfish, the last one being the most common. Despite the name, the boobfish is not actually a fish, though it does live in water. The easiest way to describe it is to compare it with a mermaid. You see, the mermaid is half girl and half fish. Well, the boobfish is half girl and half boob, but on a smaller scale. Okay, makes sense. The human part of the creature is about 6 inches tall and looks like a miniature woman with legs that merge together at her feet. Both legs are very flexible and act as labia, okay, that leads towards a large digestive sac floating behind her. This digestive sac is what gives the boobfish her name, since it has both the size and appearance of a female breast, up to the nipple at the rear end. The boobfish is a predator that hunts small to medium-sized fishes and uses the powerful suction of her breast-like pouch to catch its prey. Once the prey is sucked in, the front labia slash legs close tightly, and the water swallowed along with the prey is drained through the nipple. The victim is then doused with digestive enzymes mixed with a light narcotic to prevent any undesirable squirming or biting. Men being men, though, it was soon discovered that the boobfish often mistook a penis for one of her prey. Very shortly after that, it was also discovered that the insides of a boobfish were soft, warm, and that the peristalsis motions, oh Jesus, of her flesh felt heavenly. I think that means, like, contractions or something. Some sort of, like, a wave of, I don't know, pulsation or something. I don't know. Pulsation. All right, or peristalsis. Whatever. Boobfish hunting became a popular activity among the young male population of the island, and is quite harmless as long as you follow the rule to the letter. Once your member starts tingling, you take it out! Those that do not follow this wise piece of advice risk severe burns. The boobfish digestion process is painless and actually increases sexual pleasure, making it impossible to tell how far the digestion progressed. For the foolish few that persist for more than a few hours, there will be no warning until the boobfish starts swimming away, what's left of their penis safely digested in the breast of their new owner. But let's get back to Tom and his quest. Tom had been a wise boobfish hunter ever since he learned what the thing between his legs was for. Unfortunately for him, or fortunately, depending on the point of view, his member had grown to such a size since reaching adulthood that boobfishes he loved so much could no longer swallow it in its entirety. Recently, though, he overheard sailors that drifted too close to the coral reef brag that they had spotted boobfishes there that were twice the size of those that you could find near the shore. He would have dismissed that as senseless boasting if the captain hadn't told the same story. It did make sense. The coral reef provides plenty of game in an enclosed space, making the hunt easier for slow-moving boobfish. Also, ships couldn't approach the coral reef without risk getting stuck. And at the same time, it was too far from the shore for the average swimmer, isolating it from human contact. All right, so we're going to be hunting big, fat boob fish. All right, I'm going to fast forward here to the point where Tom, our main character, actually meets up with a big, fat boob fish. Tom didn't see the danger at first. He'd been around boob fishes all his life and had always seen them as sexy but harmless creatures. And this one, however big she was, didn't register as a threat to him. So unafraid, he approached to have a better look. She stood at about 5 feet tall and was delicately built, with fiery red hair enhanced by green eyes and a milky white skin covered in freckles. But what mesmerized him was her rear tit. It was nearly as wide as she was tall, heavy and perfectly shaped, with a pink fist-sized nipple at the other end that Tom could only imagine. Tom realized at that moment that his whole body could fit in her tunnel, and that her digestive sac would easily welcome him in, which was certainly what she had in mind. Her blocking the exit with her body suddenly took a whole new meaning, and to get out of her reach, his only option was to retreat toward the end of the cave. But it was already too late. As turned to swim away, a powerful suction pulled him inside of her in a heartbeat, leaving only his arm and head free. She then pressed her thighs firmly against his arms, forcing them to stay in the continuation of his body, while at the same time her body began to squeeze and pull around him, guiding him gently but steadily into her waiting mammary. Tom was helpless as he gradually disappeared into her. His legs were held tight by her flesh, while his hands couldn't find any hold in the sandy ground to slow her progress. She was blushing furiously as the last bit of him vanished inside of her, after which she clasped her legs tightly while her inner tunnel contracted, shrinked, and eventually sealed shut. She bore an ecstatic grin on her face and occasionally rubbed her tights together, maybe she meant thighs, as she enjoyed her meal setting up inside her voluptuous teat. Tom was in shock. This simply couldn't be happening. He had to be dreaming. Yet surely this was a nightmare. Soon he would wake up and dismiss everything with a laugh. Only it felt too real. Her flesh was enfolding him ever more tightly as she expelled the water swallowed along with him. In a short time, it was all gone, and his whole body was in contact with her inner walls. He had felt this sensation countless of times around his cock, soft flesh that undulated around him, coating him in a slightly sticky fluid, while her warmth gently soaked into him. But it was a sensation one could only experience for a short time before digestion started. He had to get out! Now! He began to trash, violently, maybe thrash, and punch the insides of her breast, hoping to make her throw him out. His tactic was surprisingly effective. The flesh surrounding him was tender and sensitive, with no muscle to defend against the attack. The boobfish, who had found a cozy spot in the seaweed to rest, began to wince in pain, while her tit wobbled softly behind her. By struggling, Tom was also actively helping her digestion process as he rubbed himself into her juices, and soon his whole body started to tingle, which again made him redouble in his efforts. However, his strength was starting to fade. The opulent and heavy breast flesh on top of him was taking its toll, and he had to rest for a moment. As soon as he stopped moving, he felt his muscles relax, and a sense of well-being invaded him. Something was wrong here. He shouldn't be this comfortable when he was about to be digested. He tried to move and only managed to twitch feebly. He knew this should have appalled him, but somehow he didn't care. He slowly sank into her welcoming folds as muscles he didn't even know he had loosened up, making him feel utterly at ease. The boobfish was asleep, so the undulating motion she produced as she swam had stopped. Tom simply laid there, soaking motionless in her fluids. The tingling feeling increased, and occasionally she would move in her sleep, sending delicious feelings to him as her flesh rubbed his. He was totally unprepared when she woke up and began to swim lazily. Her flesh came alive around him, kneading him gently as her mammary jiggled with her movements. He had been bathing... Who's jerking off to this story? People into vor. This is weird vor shit. He had been bathing for hours in her secretions. Sexy. That's a very hot line. Bathing in her secretions, which had rendered his body soft and extremely sensitive. He was in ecstasy as the folds of her tit caressed and rubbed him, literally melting him away. His mind was feverish as his body was being steadily absorbed by her voracious breasts. His last coherent thought was that it felt so good inside of her that he never wanted to leave. In a way, he never did. Later that day, the boobfish stopped in a quiet spot, sheltered by seaweeds. Her rear nipple began to dilate and slowly expel three tennis ball-sized blobs of white gooey stuff. A look of intense concentration passed on her face as she also released a pair of swim fins. The boobfish then swam away, looking quite happy with herself. The end. What the fuck? WTF times infinity. There you go. That, my friends, is your Sextastic Tuesday for June 12th, 2010, brought to you by our amazing friends at adamandeve.com. They've stuck with this program for years now. The least that you could do is shop with them next time you're looking for a dildo or adult movies or even lube or costumes or some lingerie, whatever. 50% off just about any item. That's right, half off. All you have to use is coupon code FREAK at checkout, F-R-E-A-K. If you've already used that coupon code, try DV. Two letters saves you 50%. Plus, they're going to throw in three free adult DVDs that you get to choose. You're also going to get a mystery gift. Who doesn't like surprise gifts? From a sex toy company, you know you're going to get something good. They're also going to throw in free shipping, so you're not going to have to worry about shipping and handling charges. 50% off just about any item, three free adult DVDs, and a mystery gift, all with free shipping for using coupon code FREAK or DV at checkout. Very simple. Support them, support the show, and with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted up, fucked up news right now. Yes, if you like Distorted View, why not show it? It's the only way this program will continue is if you sign up for the Sideshow, superfreaksideshow.com. $6.99 a month, that's the cost. It's cheaper than a fucking value meal. Yearly memberships are available for additional savings, $66.99 a year. And we also have, for a limited time, lifetime membership, so you'll never have to worry about recurring charges again. What do you get for that very inexpensive price? Full access to the entire archive of shows. We've been at this since December 2004. Every single episode is up on the archive. Plus, every week we do extended programs like today, where you'll get 10 to 15, maybe even more minutes of bonus content. Thursday's show will be exclusive. And later this month, we're going to do an entire week just for Sideshow Freaks. Sign up right now so you don't miss a thing. Superfreaksideshow.com. Ensures that this stupidity continues for a long, long time. All right, three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, well, it was, the first day? Was it the first day of the Jerry Sandusky trial? I'm riveted, quite frankly. There's already been some shenanigans in the courtroom. The story comes from Pennsylvania here. It was late on a long, hot day inside the Center County Courthouse in Jerry Sandusky's defense against sexual molestation charges. Already had been rocked by powerful personal testimony from a witness. As the first day of trial grinded through an afternoon of testimony, Sandusky's attorney, Joe Amendola, or something like that, kept grasping at straws, kept seeking angles to prop up his client as a kind-hearted guy who was the victim of an over-aggressive police and money-hungry accusers. So he tried to take the words of the trial's first witness, known as victim number 4 in court documents, and spin them around. Good tactic. Earlier Monday, the witness, who was a weak 13-year-old boy when he met Sandusky, but is now a no-nonsense 28-year-old man, had said the former Penn State defensive coordinator treated him like a son. Okay. Victim number 4 just shook his head and dismissed the suggestion that anything positive could be gleaned from the description. Yeah. Is that what the lawyer asked him? Looking back, yes, you may have been touched inappropriately. Yes, you may have had to shower with him or suck this guy's dick or whatever. But could there anything good have come of that? You know what I mean? Come on, think hard. He treated me like a son in front of other people, the witness said sternly, with an air of scolding towards the defense attorney. Aside from that, he treated me like his girlfriend. As gasps were audibly heard in the courtroom from a line straight off of a movie script, the lawyer paused, shuffled his notes, that's all, and kept fumbling as the witness maintained his steely posture.
Unless the defense has a plan to later recall the witness and catch him in multiple lies, there were almost no positives to the day for Sandusky. It was a bludgeoning, as if the witness had been waiting 15 years to rain down these stories on his alleged perpetrator and wasn't going to miss a single opportunity to go through the for the throat. The witness vividly detailed what he estimated were at least 40 acts of inappropriate sexual contact in the Penn State football locker room showers alone, games of soap battles, and wrestling matches, turning into repeated attempts at oral and anal sex. What I am super interested in are the letters. Apparently, Mr. Sandusky wrote creepy love letters to these kids, and they're sort of being released, I guess, or brought up in court. I'm hoping they're released to the public so I can read them. Make a great Sextastic Tuesday. All right, so there you go. That's what's happening in the Jerry Sandusky case. Things are not looking up. This is just the beginning of the trial, so... If I was a betting man, I would say Sandusky would be going away for a long, long time. There's no way he's not going to get convicted, right? All right, second story we have for you today. A man will likely face murder charges in a bizarre incident, I'm interested, that began with a fight over keys and ended with a death, sexual assault, and two other assaults. Jonathan Renard Castanda, or something, 25, is on the run after the incident. Baron Keith Armstrong, 45, is dead as a result of the assault. A man and two other women were beaten, and one of the women was raped. What? Why? This is all over car keys. Was this guy thinking that she stuffed him in her cunt or something? He's going to fish him out with his fist? All right, poor woman. All four were assaulted by one suspect whom they were socializing with when the incident began. Armstrong was looking for his keys and began to ask the others on the whereabouts of those keys. An argument started, and the suspect attacked Armstrong and beat him unconscious. He was truly angered. The suspect then turned his anger on the other victims, beat them unconscious, and then further assaulted Armstrong with household objects, like a blender or something. He fled shortly before police arrived. The female victims positively identified him to cops. Since the initial report, there has been an update. The man has been arrested by members of the Gulf Coast Violent Offenders Task Force. What the fuck is that in charge with murder? He's also apparently sporting a new haircut. No word on if he received a mani-pedi as well on his day of pampering. Because that's what, you know, if the police are after you, you're just so stressed out. Just need to relax. Get a massage. Get your hair did. Final story we have for you today. Prosecutors say a Los Angeles mother helped her 14-year-old daughter smear human feces and scrawl swastikas and slurs in maple syrup. What does that mean? When you scrawl a swastika in maple syrup... Are they Canadian neo-Nazis or something? At the houses of classmates. A city attorney's statement. You know what's great? Earlier today, I read this story about how John Lovitz basically tweeted all about this. Apparently, they're John Lovitz's neighbors or friends or something. And they were the ones, the victims, I guess. So he took a picture of their yard and the swastikas. And the swastikas were not... They're not proper, like the swastika sign was like backwards and upside down and shit. They don't know exactly how the swastika goes, but then John Lovitz also posted a picture of the girls who did it and said these are the fucking bitches that not in those words of course that drew the swastikas. They're little Jew haters, and I guess because of that they were arrested. A city attorney statement Monday says 43-year-old Catherine Welpley has been charged with 9 misdemeanors, including vandalism, trespassing, and contributing to the delinquency of minors. Prosecutors say that on April 3rd, Welpley drove her daughter and friends to vandalize the house of a former friend from middle school with syrup, feces, and toilet paper. What a combination. They say Welpley then drove to another girl's house where they did the same thing, but Welpley's daughter also drew a swastika on the front door and wrote Jew on a concrete path in rich, buttery maple syrup.
Mrs. Butterworth, why do you taste so good?
Because I'm black?
Yeah, neighbor's surveillance video led police to Welpley. So there you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. Yep, got a few voicemails here I want to share with you. Then we'll call it a day.
Check it out, Tim. It's inconceivable calling you. And I want to ask you, hey, Tim, how are you?
Good.
Have you took a step back and congratulated yourself today, young man?
On what? What have I accomplished?
You need to step back, look in the mirror, look that handsome face in the mirror and go, buddy, I'm going to get that ass.
Okay. So this is my morning ritual, my affirmation. I look into the mirror and say, buddy, you are going to get that ass today. I should start doing that.
Yeah.
You handsome devil, you're going to get some ass today.
Yeah.
You've got the face. You've got the body. You've got the penis. Look at that cock. Look at that cock. No, I'll start. Then I'll start like undulating, like start rocking my hips back and forth so my penis is like flipping up and down. Yeah. Look at that fucking cock, man. Look at that beautiful dick. Huh? You've got the goods. You can get what you want. You can get all the pussy you need. Anything you want. The world's your oyster. Okay.
Hey, white man. Brown man.
Oh, my fucking God. Really?
Who do you think makes better
really?
Me,
can you fucking speak up? I mean, Christ. All right, hold on. Let me readjust everything so we can hear him.
Hey, white man.
It's a little better.
And who do you think makes better Kool-Aid? Me or you? I bet I make better Kool-Aid.
No, nigga, I make the best Kool-Aid.
If you don't believe that, I'm going to come over and I'm going to shoot you up.
Yeah, that's a news story. A couple of angry black men were fighting over who made the best Kool-Aid.
But don't worry, I'm not actually going to hit you. I'm just going to hit everybody who's around you.
Yeah. Their ass. Someone was shot in the ass because of that.
That was the
worst gang fight ever. You know what I mean? And as I stated before, how hard is it to make Kool-Aid? You can't really fuck it up. I mean, there are really three ingredients, as I've mentioned before. You've got the Kool-Aid, and you've got the sugar, and then water. I mean, what can you do to make your Kool-Aid taste better? You can either add more sugar or add less water to make it more sugary. I guess that's what they're going for. I don't know. Doesn't seem that hard.
Sexual member Pistol here.
Oh, look. Now, hey, Tim. Now everything oh my God. Is fucking blown out because I kind of raised the volume for that last caller. Yes, go right ahead. I'm sorry.
I've never heard anybody ever say that before. Yeah, I was just listening to one of your shows. You were talking about dude has this masturbation primer or whatever, how to play with it and knead your balls. No, don't fucking touch my balls. Don't suck my balls. Don't pull my balls.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed this where, like, you know, they're always talking about how you have to pay attention to the balls, like lick my balls, suck my balls. Do guys really like that? I don't really care for it. I mean, you can do it if you want, but you got to be gentle, first of all. You can use your tongue on my balls, I guess, if you really want to. But I don't want any pulling. You need to be very careful.
That hurts. It's not good. It doesn't feel good. Don't like it.
I mean, I guess some. I mean, you know, there are, I mean, I've played tons of videos where guys are getting their balls crushed, and you know, cock and ball torture is a real thing. So I guess for some guys, being rough with balls, you know, is pleasurable.
Hey, it's a loyal Sideshow member TJ from Chicago.
Hi, TJ.
I have two quick things for you, and then I'll get the hell out of here.
Okay.
First of all, it was really good to hear Satan making his triumphant return on the program the other day.
Yes.
Definitely need to bring...
I didn't do a DVDA yesterday. I apologize for that. Tomorrow I should be back doing those. But if you guys watched the live stream on Friday... After the show officially ended, I turned the stream back on. And I was doing some impromptu karaoke, like duets with Satan and stuff. It was kind of fun for a few minutes.
Him back more often.
That's not even recorded. It's lost out there on the internet forever.
I loved him, of course. And the second thing, I haven't done one of these in a while.
I should reestablish the Ask Satan email address, and we can start that up again as a segment on DVDA.
But I figured I would ask you another Distorted View trivia question. This one is about our good old friend, or enemy, I should say, Alexander Kornswald.
Yeah.
The guy we all love to hate, right?
Who no one knows if he's real or fake, but apparently, according to lore, he is dead now, and his brother Peter Kornswald is active.
Anyway, Kornswald began his crusade against Distorted View.
Yeah.
Back in, I believe, April of 2007. And the reason why he started going after the show in the first place is because of a specific clip or segment that you played on the show that just infuriated him.
I'm guessing it was the Petalog. It was either the Petalogs or the sexual, like some sort of like kids, you know, how to stay away from sexual predators, like one of those type of
and
clips.
And my question for you today is, what was that clip that you played that made Cornswall so pissed off?
It had to have been the Petalogs, right? Because I think that Cornswall initially believed that I was a pedophile.
Okay, here is the answer. It was a Sextastic Tuesday story in which a 8-year-old girl was sexually assaulted by a monster comprised entirely of Cheerios cereal.
I do remember that. Yeah, okay.
And if you remember correctly, he tried to get you convicted on child pornography charges.
Sure.
You know, the girl was 8 and she got raped
by Cheerios,
which went over about as well as you would
she
expect.
Got fucked by a balanced breakfast.
Anyway, yeah, if you should replay that Sextastic Tuesday.
Yeah, I need to find that one. That is a good one. There was actually two Cheerios themed Sextastic Tuesday stories, believe it or not.
Oh, hey, Breeder. Hey, Officer TJ Henson, this is Pan Panascore. I don't know if you keep up with Tosh.0, but they did a web redemption with that chick who sang Smell Yo Dick.
Yeah,
you know, that she was like, why are you coming home?
Five in the morning. Yeah. Well, good for Tosh.
Or something like that. But she sang it with an orchestra and Coolio.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. You could, I bet you probably got a bunch of phone calls about this.
a couple people emailed me about it.
Hey, Tim, Critical Sadness. Can you, like, permanently mute Dylan in the DVDA chat? Okay, thanks. Bye. Ting!
I don't know. I don't really notice Dylan being annoying in the chat room. I don't really look at the chat room too much anymore because it's just a lot of hate being spewed there. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660. Oh, God.
Mrs. Butterworth is twice as thick, and it's made with
horse urine.
Spread the distortion to all your friends about the podcast. If you're sideshow freaks, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, I will see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
And right now, I just got a call, an email from our guy monitoring the praise line. He's had dozens of people delivered from homosexuality, and you had that testimony two nights ago.
Listen, we had a woman up here testifying to being delivered of a spirit of perversion and homosexuality, and we had a young man watching on the webcast.
Yes.
He was a drug addict since he was 8 years old, and he was a homosexual, delivered from drugs, got saved, and claims he was delivered of homosexuality watching on the internet.
We are just so thankful. Come on, church, right now. Just thank you, God. Hallelujah.